but the snow is so deep she could not get her snow blower to start because it was over the snow blower. Oh my goodness. This morning we are going to talk about the courtesy of God. Now for the last couple of times that we've met together, we have been talking about goals, setting goals, goals with the right parameters, spiritual goals. And all of those goals that we may or may not set, those are choices that we make, yes? Many of you know that tomorrow is a holiday. It's a holiday in honor of Martin Luther King Jr., a man most known for his civil rights work. But Mr. King was also a preacher. And I was looking through some of his notes and came across a sermon idea that he called The Courtesy of God. Now, it was interesting because his notes contained only the title and the scripture reading from the book of Revelation that Brother Shepherd already read to us. But as I pondered that title and the scripture reading, it seemed like a good place to conclude this series of sermons on goal setting and the choices that we make. This morning, we're going to look at God's courtesy to mankind, His honoring of our decisions. And here's the scary part. Even the bad ones. Because like a good parent, He doesn't shield us from the consequences of our decisions He allows us to make. He also gives us instructions, of course, as to how to avoid those mistakes. But it's up to us to follow them. This morning, we're going to take a tour de force through the scripture. We're going to start in Genesis, and I'm going to end in the book of Revelation, and yes, I'm going to keep it within my time. But, with that being said, we're going to start in Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 8. It is a story with which most of us are familiar. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid." And the Lord said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" Now, the background. Adam and Eve had been given a choice. A relatively simplistic choice. All right, folks, y'all got the entire garden to eat from. Here's this one tree I don't want you to eat from. Leave it alone. Those were the instructions, and they were pretty clear. You had to make a choice. Are you going to eat from the one I told you not to, or are you going to eat from everything else? The questioning is fascinating to me, because you and I both know that the Lord does not require answers from Adam. But He asks them anyway. Does this not sound like a parent with a child who's been caught in wrongdoing? Could the Lord have stopped Adam from eating? Well, of course He could. This particular picture is a capture from a video. This woman was talking to this little girl, and she said, "Did you eat the cake?" Now, I don't know if you can tell, but what's all over her face and her arms and her hand is the cake. And this child with a straight face said, "No, Mommy, I didn't eat the cake." But the Lord was courteous to Adam. He asked him questions anyway. Sometimes we don't necessarily respond with such courtesy to our children when they've been caught in wrongdoing. Sometimes we offer other responses, less pleasant ones, eh? God gave Adam and Eve a choice. They made a choice. God wasn't happy with the choice. And there were consequences for that choice. But God was courteous. Flip over in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30. For those of you who are going to go grab the pew Bibles, it's the fifth book from the front, Deuteronomy. Moses is speaking to his people. We're going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting in verse 15. Now remember that Moses is the Lord's mouthpiece to the people. The Lord was willing to speak to the people. And the people said, no, that's just too scary. Moses, you talk to God and we'll listen to you. Moses says in verse 15, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now, choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What is the Lord giving his people? It's a choice. And he tells them, this is what happens when you make this choice. This is what happens if you make a different choice, but the choice is yours. Do you know when we set goals or fail to set goals? It's our fault. But so are the ramifications of making those choices. Now, I don't want to spoil the story for you, but they're going to meet both the Babylonians and the Assyrians because they made choices. Flip over to the book of Joshua. Let's look at the shorter passage. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Because Joshua is going to do the same thing. Starting in Joshua 24, verse 15, we read, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living, but as for me and my household, will serve the Lord. Do you know why Joshua is able to make that choice? Because 40 years ago, he made a different choice than 10 other guys. And the Lord told him, because you made that choice, you will see the land of Canaan while the rest of your generation dies out. Our choices have consequences. But God allows us to make those choices. If God wanted robots, he could have created those. He didn't. He gave us free will. Flip over a lot further. We're going to go to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking. We're going to start in verse 31. And he says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all those things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus is telling his listeners they have a choice. We can search after those earthly things, or we can seek after the kingdom. It's our choice, but the choices come with consequences. Do you know that if you go chase down food, that you're going to end up with food? If you go chase down clothing, you could end up with clothing. But Jesus said, here's a thought for you. If you seek God first, you'll find God and all that other stuff. Which one do you want? Do you want God and all that other stuff? Or do you just want the food? It's your call. but so are the consequences. The story of the rich young ruler is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're going to look at the version in Mark, starting in verse 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him and said, "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these have I kept since I was a boy." That was a good choice, yes. Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." And at this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Now, if you read on to the next verses, Jesus goes back to talking to his disciples that this rich young ruler interrupted when he came up. But I want you to pay attention to the fact that, first of all, Jesus was courteous to him even though he was not. He interrupted. He was rude. But Jesus doesn't chase this man down and say, "No, you need to follow me." Jesus honors his choice. When the man turns and walks away, what does Jesus do? He goes back to teaching those people who want to hear what he has to say. Will there be repercussions for the decisions that we make? Sure there will. But God's going to allow you to make them. In Luke chapter 6, verse 35, we read, "But love your enemies and do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. And then your reward will be great and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked." That's a hard one. Brother Duane was talking about the man he found on, he's back in the children's class. Man he found on the street and he handed him something. You remember that God lets the rain fall on the just and the unjust. Our courtesy is not dependent on other people. Our courtesy is dependent on us. We choose how we react to people. Let's look in Luke chapter 10, only a couple pages over. Jesus has gone to the home of Mary and Martha, and we're going to start in verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." The Lord is polite to her as she interrupts again while he's trying to teach people who want to hear what he has to say. Martha's choices are not invalid. Somebody's got, if you want to eat, somebody's got to fix it. But we know from previous experiences that if the Lord wants food on the table, the Lord will put food on the table. Lord said, "You made your choice, and she made hers, and now we'll all deal with the repercussions." By the way, who did the inviting? It was Martha. Part of the repercussions of that, of being the hostess, is that you get to provide. Let's go over in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. starting in verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived, for God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life." Now what we're learning there is just as clearly as we can, there are repercussions for the decisions that we make. I'm going to paraphrase Abraham Lincoln. You can fool some of the people all of the time. You can fool all of the people some of the time. But you need not kid yourself, because you're not fooling God. We are going to get the consequences of our decisions. By the way, this is an aside, but you understand that consequence by denotation is a neutral word. Now by connotation, consequence is typically negative. But if I go to a Coke machine, I put in $1.25 and push the button for Coke, what's the consequence of my actions? Well, hopefully I get a Coke.
Yeah.
Hopefully I get that Coke. Consequence is a neutral word by denotation. That's the dictionary definition of the word. Let's look over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. This is one of my favorite scriptures, favorite passages. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." We all make choices every day. We make choices about how we treat people. Think about the choices that we make about how to treat the people in our homes. Our spouses, our children, do we treat them honorably? Courteously? Do we focus on the things that are excellent and praiseworthy about those people? There are consequences to those decisions, by the way. We make choices about what comes out of our mouths. Praises and curses. We make choices about what goes into our minds. What are we reading? What do we watch on the TV? What kind of music do we listen to? Now, interestingly enough, this one feeds back to the last one. Do you know what comes out of your mouth? What's in your heart. Well, how does that stuff get in your heart? Depends on what's put there, huh? Choices. We make choices all the time. We make choices about God. Do you believe? Do you believe that God is real? Do you believe that there is going to be a judgment day? Well, what are you doing about it? Let's look over in the book of James, chapter 2. James chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 18. And James says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds.' You believe that there is a God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder." Why is it that God allows us so many choices? In Acts 17:27, it says, "God did this so that men would seek him and reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us." Our decisions make us who we are. A lot of us like to put off decisions that are unpleasant, but do you know that failing to make a decision is making a decision by default, and that that's not necessarily a good way to go through life? Let's look in 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to pick up where Peter is finishing up a thought that he just had, where he's left off. He was talking to husbands and wives. We're going to pick up in verse 8. And he says, "Finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult." Oh my goodness. How many of you saw the movie Peppermint? A couple of you? How many of you thought of Mel Gibson movie Payback? Do you know what the action film's all about? They're all about repaying evil with evil. Paul says, don't do that. On the contrary, repay evil with a blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. You know that that last verse there, verse 12, brings up an interesting point about our choices. His ears are attentive to their prayer if their eyes are on the Lord and the righteous. Now the implication there is, if the Lord is not on your mind and you are not attentive to righteousness, that you might be having difficulty with your prayers. I would like to read to you a paragraph by this person, Julian of Norwich. This person was a recluse back in the 1200s, but gave a lot of advice to people during the Black Plague. And she says, love has good manners. She talks about the infinite courtesy of God. Jesus, she said, nourishes us with himself and with the utmost courtesy. God, the Creator, who in Jesus Christ loves every creature, loves every human being as if he or she were an only child. God relates to us not from power, but from humble courtesy that respects our freedom. God, the lover, does not force, invade, or coerce, but allows each human being freedom to be and to choose. God, the lover, who in Jesus' unforgettable gestures opens the doors of the kingdom and holds a seat at his table for all who would come, and who on the night of his arrest washed the feet of his friends and his betrayer as they prepared to break bread and drink wine together. This God of infinite courtesy invites us to that same respect and courtesy. He invites us to show the world something of the reality of God, the infinite courtesy of God, in the way that we relate to one another, invites us to that same respect and courtesy toward one another and toward everyone, all God's children that we encounter every day, our neighbors, our friends, our spouses, our children, and even strangers. For yes, love has good manners. I would like us to end up where we started with Brother Shepherd reading. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, starting in verse 19. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent, for here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Now here's a strange reality check for you. Do you know that the door only exists because God allows it to exist? But he stands there and knocks on it. Instead of making it disappear or blowing it down or forcing his way in, you have the choice. Are you going to come open the door or not? And God will respect your choice. He's not going to break the door in. He's waiting on a decision from us to love him and love our neighbors. We need to be careful about the goals that we set and the choices that we make. We need to make sure that the goals that we make point us in the right direction, because we are supposed to be imitators of Christ. If Christ was courteous, should we not also be courteous? God isn't going to force us to be good or make good decisions, but he's allowed us the freedom to be good and make good decisions. The quote up here, I'm not sure you can read the text. It says, I have decided to love. If you are seeking the highest good, I think you can find it through love. For God is love. This morning, if you want to know more about making the choices that you are free to make, or if indeed you have anything with which the corporate body can help, please feel free to come forward as together we stand.